Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
Today we're going to begin a new study on the book of James. So I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 1. We're just going to look at verse 1. Much of our lesson will be introductory, and so we'll look in James chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, greeting. J. Ronald Blue wrote this concerning the book of James, designed to exhort and encourage, to challenge and convict, to rebuke and revive, to describe practical holiness and drive believers toward the goal of a faith that works. James is severely ethical and refreshingly practical. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at James the author from a biblical historical view. Then we're going to look at James the author from a secular historical view. And then thirdly, we want to look at the book of James, just a couple of fun facts. And then finally, we're going to look at verse number 1, and we'll have our beginning to our study of the book of James. Well, let's begin first of all by considering James the author and the biblical history that we have about him. The traditional view is that he was the half-brother of Jesus. In the New Testament, there are 4 or 5 men who are named James. Historians and expositors have gone through a process of eliminating this James and that James, and we're not going to do that today. We're just going to go with the traditional view, which is overwhelmingly in favor of James being the half-brother of Jesus. Now, why would we call James the half-brother of Jesus? Well, to be the full brother, they would have to share a mother and a father. But remember the Lord Jesus Christ as the God-man. Joseph was not his real father, but Mary was his mother. So he was virgin-born, and so they are half-brother. So we're going to go with James, the half-brother of Jesus, as the author of the book. I want you to look with me, if you would, you have your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. To begin our study, we're just going to look at several scriptures concerning James and his relationship concerning the Lord Jesus and what the biblical historical view is that we've identified as the author of the book of James. In Matthew chapter 13, I want to begin reading in verse number 53. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Can you imagine James growing up in the same household as the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is perfect. And even as the God-man, he was a perfect child. Can you imagine Mary or Joseph saying to one of his siblings, "Why can't you be more like Jesus?" if that's what they were subjected to, because Jesus was perfect, never did anything wrong, always did what was right. And you know how kids are. Sometimes if you don't go along with what they want to do, they're not happy. Well, I cannot imagine what it would have been like to grow up with Jesus. Initially, Jesus' siblings actually rejected him as the Messiah. I'm turning to the Gospel of Mark in chapter number 6. Just going to look at the first 6 verses to start with, but the Bible says, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching." It's amazing that his siblings, his brothers and his sisters were raised with him, saw him as a brother, and yet even they, living so close, this family did not recognize Jesus for who he was. I'm looking now in the Gospel of John in chapter 7, and John's account in John chapter 7, I want to look at verses 3 through 5. The Bible says, "His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. And there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world." For neither did his brethren believe in him. You can almost read the sarcasm coming off the page there as they were telling Jesus, "Make yourself known to the whole world." My friend, at some point, though, the good news is James became a believer, moving from being offended and having a bad attitude concerning Christ. At some point, James received Christ as his own Savior. I want to look to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We don't know definitively the exact moment that James received Christ as his Savior, but we do know there was a significant event that may well have led to his salvation. That event is the resurrection of Christ. I'm reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, but which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed it in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Notice verse 5, "And that he was seen of Cephas," that's Peter, "then of the 12, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." Then notice verse 7. "After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles." And then I want to turn to Luke's historical account as it's given in the book of Acts and chapter number 1. Acts and chapter number 1. We're looking at verses 10 through 14. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven," let me just stop there and let you know the context is the ascension of Jesus back into heaven. And the Bible says, "As he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Look who else was at this prayer meeting in verse 14. With the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. James and his siblings were also in that upper room in prayer. So at some point in time, and perhaps it was after the resurrection of Christ, James came to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that James became a leader in the church of Jerusalem. At one time, Peter was, we'd probably call, the senior pastor, and James was his assistant. But then it seems that James, at some point after Peter left, became the leader of the church there in Jerusalem. We're in the book of Acts. Look in chapter 12, and we'll see Luke's account of his leadership there. Acts chapter 12 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "But he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace." What we have here in this particular verse is Peter had been arrested. He'd been thrown into jail, and an angel had released him, and he's out knocking on the door, trying to get their attention, but they're inside praying for his release. And so we pick this up in verse 17, "But he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison." They finally let him in the house. He says, "Listen, the angel let me loose." And he said in verse 17, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." He departed and went into another place. Who was it to be reported to? To James, the Bible says. We're still in the book of Acts, looking in chapter 15 and verse 13. "And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me." Now, this was a meeting that took place at the church there in Jerusalem, and this is just a reference to James taking charge of that council, of that meeting that dealt with how the Jewish believers should respond to the Gentile believers that were coming to know Christ as their Savior. And also in chapter 15 and verse number 19, James once again, "Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble them not," and so forth, showing that James was in charge of that meeting. His leadership in the church at Jerusalem is well documented. Also in Acts chapter number 21, we're looking at verses 17 and 18. "And when they were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went up with us unto James, and all the elders were present." And then, finally, I want to look in the book of Galatians. We're talking here about the biblical record of James, the author of the book of James. And in Galatians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter." The Apostle Paul is writing this, "and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother." Then also in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 9, "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." Well, I went through all of that just to establish the fact that James was at first an unbeliever. Then he came to receive Christ as his Savior, probably because of the resurrected Jesus. And then he also became one of the leaders in the church at Jerusalem. Warren Wiersbe wrote this about James. He said, "Keep in mind that James led the church in Jerusalem during a very difficult time. It was a time of transition, and such times are always upsetting and demanding. There were many Christian Jews in Jerusalem who still held to the Old Testament law. The temple and its services were still in operation, and the full light of the gospel of God's grace had not yet dawned. We who have read Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews might be prone to judge these early believers, but we must not. They were saved people, but they were still in the shadows of the law, moving out into the bright light of God's grace. While there may have been differences in degrees of spiritual knowledge and experience, there was no competition between Paul and those who directed the Jerusalem church. There was a lot of dynamic going on in those days. Well, we've looked at James the author from a biblical history. Very briefly, James the author from secular history. He's been known in secular history as James the Just. This was due to his moral character. He's also been referred to as Old Camel Knees, and this was because of the testimony he had concerning prayer. Secular history also tells us that James was martyred for the cause of Christ. I have a quote here concerning the historical record. According to tradition, he was first thrown from the pinnacle of the temple, but survived the fall. He was then stoned by the crowd and finally killed with a club. So James, at the end of his life, actually gave his life for Christ, not only as a leader, a believer, as a half-brother of Christ, but he gave his life by giving it up for his testimony that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Well, very quickly, James the book, I have a couple of fun facts for you. The letter of James is possibly, and I could probably say probably, the earliest New Testament book that was written. Find it interesting that there was two half-brothers that actually wrote two different books in the Bible. The one is James, and the other was his brother, Jude. So we have two books in the New Testament written by the half-brothers of the Lord Jesus. And then the second fun fact is this. Some refer to James as the New Testament book of Proverbs. Why is that? Well, Proverbs in the Old Testament is a book of wisdom, and James in the New Testament, because of its Jewish flavor, its Old Testament wisdom, and its practical teaching, has been referred to as the New Testament book of Proverbs. Well, finally, we want to look at verse 1 of James chapter 1. Here we have an exposition of salutation and greeting. We have here in James chapter 1 and verse 1, he begins, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, today, whenever we write letters, which is what this was, we sign our names at the end of the letter. But in Bible times, they would usually begin their epistles or their letters by identifying the author at the very beginning of the letter. Now, how does James introduce himself? Well, he could have said, hey, this is James. I'm the half-brother of Jesus. But that's not what he did. In fact, he did just the opposite. He introduced himself as James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He used the word, the Greek word, doulos, which means bondservant, and it's translated as servant, but it deals with a slave. Let me share with you from the Life Application Bible Commentary about this Greek word. The Greek word doulos refers to a position of complete obedience, utter humility, and unshakable loyalty. Obedience was the work, humility was the position, and loyalty was the relationship that a master expected from a slave. Many of the first followers of Christ were, in fact, slaves. But among Christians, the idea of being a slave of Christ became not a position of humiliation, but a place of honor. There can be no greater tribute to a believer than to be known as God's obedient, humble, and loyal servant. When we struggle to display any one of those qualities, we will tend to be weak in the others also. If Jesus actually is our Lord, our actions must be obedient to Him. Our attitude must be humble before Him, and our life must be loyal to Him. This is the authority of this letter. This is the authority of the book of James. James says, listen, I am the human author, but I am a bondslave. I am a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's quite a bold thing that James does here. He boldly proclaims the deity of Christ. Whether God in verse 1 is referring to God the Father or God the Son makes little difference because God and the Lord Jesus Christ are both God. There's one God made up of three persons. So if Jesus is God the Son, He is God. So James begins with making this bold assertion, identifying the Lord Jesus Christ as God. And James places God and the Lord Jesus Christ equally sharing the same authority. Our authority as Christians is based also on our relationship and obedience to Christ and His Word. Our authority also comes from God and His Word. As Lord, Jesus is our owner and He is our master. As Jesus, He is our Savior. Was it not the angel that told Mary, His name shall be Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins? And then the word Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah. Listen, my friend, if you're a believer and you're sharing the gospel with others, we have the authority to do that as long as we are doing it under the authority of Christ and we're doing it under the authority of His Word. And then James tells us the recipients or who he addresses his letter to in verse 1. He says, to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. Now the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad just refers to the Jewish believers that no longer lived in the land of Israel. They were scattered all around the known world. Now, there's a lot of reasons why that is so. Back earlier in Israel's history, you had the Assyrians and the Babylonians coming and conquering Israel and taking people all over the world. But during this time that James was penned, that generation, they were scattered as well. There came a time that the church in Jerusalem was suffering persecution. There also was a great famine and all of these reasons for people to have to leave. We think of Pentecost, when these Jews from all over came to Israel for Pentecost and heard the preaching of Peter. How many of them got saved and took the gospel back to their homes? So these Christians were scattered abroad, diaspora among the Gentiles. And yet James had a concern, a pastoral concern for these Jewish believers, and hence he addresses this letter to them. Now, that's not to say it doesn't apply to us Gentile Christians, because obviously it does. And then he uses the word greeting. Now, the interesting tidbit of that is greeting was a translation of a Greek word. He didn't use the Hebrew word salom. Even though he was dealing with a Jewish audience, he dealt with the Greek word greeting, perhaps because the Jews were interspersed amongst the Gentile population. But the Greek word for greeting, charo, or is sometimes translated by the word rejoice. So James is beginning his letter here to these Jewish believers scattered amongst the Gentiles. Rejoice! Rejoice! And you'll have to wait till next time to see what he's referring to, because he begins to talk rejoice in the midst of trials and temptations. Until then, God bless you.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.